Hello, everybody. This is John Marks, the editor of CopsAlive.com. Welcome to another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Audio Bulletin is our way of finding great information to help you in your career and your life, improve things. And this is our way of sharing information we think is of value to you. This is brought to you by Cops Alive, and the mission of CopsAlive.com is simply to help police and law enforcement professionals plan for and create happy, healthy, and successful lives both on the job and beyond. So I've got a question for you. Do you have lower back pain? Do you have issues with flexibility? I know most of you work out a lot, probably with weights, maybe some aerobic stuff, but the question is, have you ever considered yoga? Our guest today is Nick Mancy from Portland, Oregon. He is the creator of One Breath Yoga, and he's got some ideas for you that I think are valuable. So we're going to talk to Nick and see how his program can actually help you improve your flexibility, deal with some stress, and maybe even deal with some lower back pain issues. Nick, welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me, man. I was really pleased to search the web. It was probably, I think we've been in contact for maybe 8 months now.
Yep.
Search the web and find your site.
Thanks.
Find your site out there. And the reason I came across it, I stumbled across it because someone was telling me, I ran into somebody actually in Denver. Aren't you in Denver?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. Was telling me about the occupational hazards and stress associated with being a law enforcement, in law enforcement in general.
Right.
So I did a little search online for occupational hazards and stress, and the statistics just blew me away at what's going on out there. So with the cops and what they're going through. So it was good to see your site up there. You call it helping save lives of those who are saving lives. And so I looked into it a little further, and then I did a couple ride-alongs with the police department out here in Portland, Oregon, just to kind of get a firsthand feel of what's going on. But before I get into that, maybe I should kind of tell you about my experience with yoga a little bit. I grew up in the Midwest, and for whatever reason, I had a lot of stress. I had a lot of anger. I got in a lot of fights. I got to the point where I was so stressed out that I developed a cyst on my back. And the doctor looked at me and he said, "You gotta relax. You gotta relax. You gotta do something to relax." So I was always into sports, playing baseball and football and soccer, and that brought me a sense of peace. And then I got into cycling, and that really, really, really pushed my body to a whole new level and pushed my peace to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
So I always found a little solace in that, in the sports. But then, even at the end of the day, when I was done with my bike ride, I was done with my sports, I still had a little anger, a little dysfunction going on. And it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable to the point where I was thinking, do I want to live the rest of my life with this stuff? And I wasn't a big therapy guy. I did a lot of reading on, self-help and whatever, but it only took me to a certain point. It was just on a mental level. So I discovered by accident, yoga. This was in Phoenix, Arizona. I discovered some hot yoga. So I went in there and started stretching, and I started breathing, and I started stretching, and I started breathing. And I tell you what, I have never slept better in my life than I have after stretching and breathing in the heat for a while. And what I found, when I slowly started to find out, was that all that stuff that I was carrying around with me in my psychologically, physically, emotionally, all that stuff was in my body. The reason I know that was because when I get into a stretch, all that stuff would show itself. It would show itself, and I would not like being there. But as long as I was directing that breath right into resistance to breathe, as I found through the pose, the deeper I go into the pose, the harder it was to breathe. Everybody knows that. The deeper you go into something physical, harder it is to breathe. But if I was refining the breath, that was conquering that, it was going into it and it was dissolving that, I was opening myself up to a whole new level of peace. So I came up with the theory that all our suffering, everything we're suffering about, is in the tissue of the body. So that gave me a sense of of accomplishment, because I knew if it was in the body, me being a physical guy, I could conquer it. I could slay those demons, break down the ego, whatever you want to call it, you know, battle my dragons or whatever, be a spiritual warrior in that way and conquer that stuff and break that down. So that was 11 years ago, and I started teaching not long after that. I was already a personal trainer and a cycling coach, so I just, it was an easy transition into this yoga thing. I started teaching yoga, and I found that as I slowly start to enhance my teaching, I slowly start to find my audience. And it wasn't the typical yoga audience. It wasn't the yoga studio audience, I've noticed. It was more male, not to say just men, but more male energy, because it was a very direct approach. It was a very search and destroy kind of mentality, where it was just find that ego, find that pain, find that suffering, go in and conquer it, break it down. And I was finding a lot of men were attracted to this approach, because they didn't feel like, you know, like someone was going to ask them to sit still and find their inner peace. That was impossible for me to do. I wasn't going to ask anyone else to do that until the end of class. Yeah. They could have a reference point by that point, and they could sit still, and they were amazed, and I was amazed, at what level of peace I could come to, level of stillness, level of silence. And so I found that it was mostly male. So I now teach for the Oregon Department of Corrections. I go in the prison system and teach there. I teach in, I just started with this African-American group, this nonprofit group. These guys are on probation for domestic violence, and it's really working with them. And it just lights me up to see these guys be still at the end of class and actually, you know, just be humbled and just find a new part of themselves that they didn't encounter before. So anyway, so I did this ride-alongs, getting back to that, I did the ride-alongs with city cops out here, and the cop I rode with was great. He said right off the bat, any questions you have, I'll answer. So just shoot away. So we started in this area of town that was very low income, a lot of crime, a lot of poverty, and that was our route. And it was a Wednesday night. It wasn't that busy then, so we would just circle the perimeter.
Yeah.
And then we get a call, and we shoot in and just take care of the call. But I asked him, the first question I asked him, I said, do you feel, he has his wife and kids, I said, do you feel you take this job home with you? And he said, no. Okay. So we continued on. And I tell you, John, after 3 hours of driving around this area, and it wasn't that busy. We didn't have a whole lot of calls that night, but just being in that area, I started to feel, you know, all that despair out there. I started to feel a little contaminated. You know, I started to feel a little like starting to get an understanding of what he's dealing with. And about that 3 hours in, he goes, you know, yeah, after talking to him and asking him all these questions, he said, you know, you asked me earlier if I take this job home with me.
Yeah.
And he said, I got to tell you, I think I do. Yeah. He said, I take all, see all these people around here? We're at a stoplight. I take all these guys home with me, and I hate it. And so that got me to a new level of understanding of what they're dealing with. And then, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, what these guys are dealing with the media out here. And, you know, they got media to deal with. They've got, these people to deal with on the streets. They've got, you know, whatever is going on in their precinct to deal with. And, I thought, man, my yoga, I think would really, really help these guys if I could sell it to them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got to be the voice, the devil's advocate here, because in law enforcement, traditionally, yoga is kind of a four-letter word. And, you know, most cops don't want to handle anything touchy-feely. And, you know, they're into hardcore workouts, most of them. But, you know, so why is this different?
Yeah, well, I think yoga's got a bad rap here in the West, because when it came here, it was kind of touchy-feely. It was very hippie. And so women were more open to it than guys were. So what they did is women took it. And they made it their own. So now it's got this reputation of this soft little, you know, easy movement, flowy, harp playing in the background, maybe a rainbow and a waterfall up on the wall or something. And but if when I read about yoga, you know, 100 years ago, back in India, it was all male. All the guys were doing it. And those teachers, those yoga teachers, were strict. They were super strict. I mean, worse than a high school gym coach or a football coach. These guys would make you do the work, but they would make sure you're doing it right. And they were really disciplined. And they would get mean if you started slacking. They would show you that they're not going to tolerate it. So I love reading about that because that gives me a little justification for the way I teach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm strict. I'm kind. I make sure everybody knows it's all coming from my heart, you know, but I'm very, very strict about it. So I scare a lot of people away, you know, in the yoga community. But I draw a lot of people in,
yeah.
People that are used to having a coach, people that are used to being direct and telling them how this thing works and how they can make the most of it. So it's very – so my approach is very male. And when I say male, I mean – the male goes in and it conquers. The female has this reference point into their softness within, their hearts open, their minds open. They go in that and they nurture that. That's called yin yoga. It's more passive. They can nurture that and they can grow on that. Whereas guys, they don't really have that as much of a reference point into that softness, that open heart, that open mind that women do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we're behind women in that way. But so the male approach would be to go into it. You go into the pain, but you go into it with the breathing. That's the key. You got to breathe directly into all that resistance that shows itself, and you destroy it. You break it down. So it is definitely a hard workout. It's a lot of sweating because when those cells open up, they're going to start, you know, emptying out all those poisons, all those toxins, all that dis-ease in the system, and you're going to sweat and you're going to work really hard. So
you talked about doing hot yoga. I know there's a style of yoga where the room you're in is set particularly hot. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff. yeah. That's good stuff.
So describe this for me. I mean, we're going to talk about your website here in a second. I've seen some of your videos. But for those people that don't know, have a clue what you're talking about, describe this. Are we talking about aerobics? Are we talking about martial arts? Are we talking about workout? Is it stretching?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. It's yoga to me is a very thorough way of ridding the body of all the body and the mind of all the toxins, all the dis-ease in the body. And because you stretch into all that resistance. You find it. It's a never-ending process. You can always find a little bit more. But what happens in the heat is that just like, say you're making a sword, you got to heat that metal up and mold it the way you want to manipulate it, the way you want to manipulate it. So being in a hot room at 100 degrees or more, you can really start manipulating the body more. You can start bending it because the muscles are softer, they're warmer, and you sweat more out. So you get rid of more toxins. To me, it's just a more efficient way to do it. It's a more efficient way to practice yoga, to get rid of all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and to open yourself up to just a whole new level of relaxation and peace. To me, yeah, that's just the way to go. But you don't have to do it that way. You can build heat on your own. You can do jumping jacks. You can do squats, which are, you know, you can do them right before my videos,
mm-hmm.
or any video or any workout. You can get warm and then go in there and then start. And I teach in the video how to heat your body up in the most efficient way. So you don't necessarily need it, but I'll tell you this, it's hard to practice when it's cold.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it's, you know, trying to do it in a cold room in a basement or something like that, it's going to be hard. But the warmer it is, the better. So sometimes, you know, if I'm a cold situation, I'll put on a lot of clothes and practice that way. But I want to get hot. I want to get warm, and I want to breathe, and I want to sweat. So it's definitely a hard workout.
So if people are doing this at home and they're not part of a class, they just crank up the heat in the house while they're doing their practice and crank it back down when they're done?
Yeah, that's what I got. That's what I do. I got a portable heater. I'll just heat that up an hour before I get ready every morning to practice. Or I'll get on, I have a stationary bike, I'll get on that bike and ride for a while and get hot. And then, I'll just get a good practice and go about my
So how long do you recommend people go through this process, and how often? Every day?
Yeah, you know what? Well, it's just like anything. The more often, the better. But I tell you this, when you start a practice, and this is what gets people discouraged, when you start a yoga practice, you're addressing the initial layers of pain, and it's very painful. It can be very, very painful. But if you stay consistent with it, there comes a turning point where the pain starts to go away because you've broken down most of the disease, whether it be mental disease, emotional disease, or physical disease, most of the disease in the body. And then you start growing, you start building. So when you break down that ego and that suffering and everything else, you know, you're left with all this space, then you start building the body and the mind up to be one. And it's not a painful situation anymore. It's very pleasurable. It feels good. You start building up to be a warrior, you know, this peaceful warrior with this open heart and this open mind. And say something. I wanted to touch on something before I forget about it.
Go ahead.
And it's kind of like what I like about working with men is that I like, for myself, I like to work through all the stuff that keeps me from being open, keeps me from standing up straight and strong and being a rock for those around me, for, you know, the woman in my life, for my family. I want to be there. I want to be dependable. When things get bad, I want to be able to stand up and not react in a dysfunctional way. I want to be seen as someone very dependable. And that's what I'm teaching my my students to be, because, you know, I think it's a good male role, and I think a lot of men are satisfied with that role. I think they want that role. They want to be dependable. But what I'm trying to teach is that we got to work through our own stuff. It's our responsibility to work through all of our pain, all of our suffering on all those levels so that we can stand up straight with an open mind and an open heart, and we can be there for those around us. So that's why, and cops with police officers, I think they're taking on a huge role of being this. They're not only being the male model for those close to them, their spouses or their family, but for their community. And I feel if they can work through whatever it is that's keeping them from, you know, being at peace and being standing up straight and strong and having an open heart, I think people will see this. People will see this, and they will gravitate towards this and look up to police officers in that way. But I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I could do it, because I haven't been in their shoes. You know, I don't understand the level of suffering to its, you know, to its full degree here. But I'm thinking what I'm onto here works with everybody in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, it opens us up. It causes us to be strong and impervious to the stresses of the world around us. So I just wanted to touch on that before. Yeah.
That's pretty cool stuff. You know, you're hitting the nail on the head. We certainly find that many, many police officers take on a whole lot more stress than they should. They take a whole lot more stress on than they actually are aware of oftentimes. And sometimes that comes back to haunt them, you know, years later in the form of PTSD, in the form of drug or alcohol abuse, in the form of broken relationships, and in some cases, suicide. One of the purposes of copsalive.com is to simply reach out to cops and say, look, we as a profession need to become more conscious of what we're taking in to our psyche and to our body, you know, and if we're going to be good at what we do, part of being that professional is learning to manage that external pressure, that external stress. Sometimes it's internal because, you know, we feel bad for situations. We see horrible things. A lot of times those memories just nag at us and bubble up inside. And if we're not able to talk it out, if we're not able to work it out, then it can become toxic. And a lot of guys I know will certainly turn to a hardcore workout. They'll do a lot of running. They'll do a lot of weights. But, you know, I've been there, and that didn't always make it go away. And I know I've tried yoga. I've tried meditation. You know, I know that they're valuable, but it's hard to maintain those practices. The one thing that I certainly found with yoga was I had a lot of lower back pain after a whole career. I didn't always wear a uniform and a gun belt, but, you know, I worked a lot of off-duty even when I wasn't assigned in patrol. And that heavy gun belt really takes its toll on your back over years and years and years. So just the stretching of my lower back alone was worth the process of doing yoga, not to mention some of the other things that go with it. You've already talked about some of the deep breathing, maybe a little meditation stuff to kind of clear your mind and let some of that stuff come out.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, you're hitting it too. I see where you're coming from there for sure. Have you you heard of a guy named Michael Jaco, former Navy SEAL?
No, uh-uh.
He was a Navy SEAL for many years as an instructor, and he wrote a book called Intuitive Warrior. And he talks about being in an alpha state, getting in an alpha state. He said when he would be on reconnaissance missions with his SEAL teams, these teams would spend so much time together that they didn't have just waiting, you know, just waiting around in the dark. They didn't have to use hand signals anymore. They were so in tune with one another. They were in this alpha state where they were communicating telepathically. This is what I've experienced through my own practice. When we stretch into all that stuff that's getting in the way of my natural self coming out, I get into this alpha state. And alpha state is where you're aware of everything going on around you, not only on a physical level, on an energetic level. And that includes, you know, other people and what they're thinking and what they're feeling and that sort of thing, which I think would be very, very beneficial to police officers as well.
Yep. I think most cops will tell you they've acquired or developed or innately have a very powerful intuition that in many cases saves their lives. You know, we kid about it, call it the spidey sense or that, you know, that little nagging voice in the back of your head. But I think every cop believes in that, puts faith in that, and does their very best to cultivate it.
I didn't know that. That's good to know. What'd you call it, the spidey sense?
Well, yeah, that's a takeoff from Spider-Man. But, you know, it's that just that little alarm bell that goes off in your back of your head that tells you there's some danger around. And, every cop, I think, innately has outstanding human skills, and they learn to read people well. And in many cases, that's to determine if somebody's lying to you. But frequently, that has to do with, you know, saving your own skin. And if somebody's about to attack you, you kind of want to have some warning about that. And we get very good at interpreting body language and the kind of signals that people send out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see how in some cases you're just thrown into it. It's kind of a survival thing. You just resort to it. And I could see that happening. For sure.
So, you know, I think that's a strong point of what you're talking about. If your practice helps develop that, then I think that I certainly would encourage you to talk about that and make sure our audience understands that, you know, we're not talking about some woo-woo off-the-wall stuff here. This is, you know, whether we practice martial arts, there are a lot of things that have been around through all of human history that we don't necessarily understand, but many people, once they've experienced it, believe in those kinds of skills. And if your practice develops that, then, you know, I think people need to know that.
Yeah. And I'm finding that I'm trying to get in with the I signed a contract with the city of Portland to be teaching their employees. And I started with the street department, and I'm working with those guys every morning just to get their, you know, their bodies have taken a beating too. So I'm trying to get their bodies in good shape and get them in good spirits, take care of them. But I'm working towards the police department, and I'm finding that a lot of resistance, most of the resistance comes from the cops don't want other cops to see them doing this yoga thing because they're seeing it as a form of like they need therapy or like they need help or something like that. They don't want other cops to see that, you know, they're weak. Which I'm trying to sell it to them in a different way. I'm trying to tell you that this is going to open you up this is going to open you up to just a, I don't know, just a better way of living.
Yeah. Well, I'll be the first to tell you that, you know, the way we've done it, and I've retired a few years ago, but the way we've done it in law enforcement isn't working, because if you look at the statistics that you already mentioned, you know, we have a very high rate of heart attack. We have a very high rate of every form of cancer. Our life expectancy has been calculated by some at age 66. We have a very high rate of suicide, and there are a lot of people that argue about what that rate is, but everybody agrees it's higher than the general population, and it's certainly higher than it should be for people in this kind of protective service. So this job can be very toxic, and I think one of the things cops need to put their arms around is we've got to find new tools, new strategies to help us be better at what we do. And, you know, we're all about courage and we're all about being the warrior. So I like your language, Nick, but, you know, I think the cops need to learn to embrace this. And so, you know, man up here. And if this is the kind of thing you need for your body, then you've got to experiment with that, because it's better to, swallow your pride a little bit than swallow your gun. And, you know, a lot of cops just poo-poo things, and yet they keep taking in the stress, and they try to get rid of it by drinking and smoking and, you know, whatever. They're eating too much. They're abusing their bodies. And it is probably time for a lot of people to get in touch with their physical self and take care of that body, because it isn't going to last nearly as long as you think it's going to.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's why I want to do this tour. I want to do this workshop tour. I want to go to police agencies around the country. And
Tell us about that. You mentioned it to me earlier. Go ahead and tell everybody about it.
I'm going to hooking up with this National Law Enforcement Training Academy, and I want to get their cadets for an hour at the beginning of every training day to get them in this state, this alpha state. And my practice, my physical sequences that I do, it's very functional, meaning the movement with breath. It's very, very functional. It gets the knees strong. There's like a lot of squats involved. So it gets the body limber and loose and agile. There's a lot of jumping jacks involved. So, all done with breath. So, I'm trying to get people physically, mentally fit to do the job that they want to do. So, so I can dispel any myths that any cops have about, yoga if I just get at least maybe 20 guys together in a room for an hour. I can bring them to a state of stillness and peace and strength and agility all at the same time, ready to go out in the world, ready to be calm and aware and disease-free over a long period of time, of course. But after every session, after the first session, you know, I could sit them up in meditation and give them this sense of peace if they do the work and they do it properly and they do it intelligently, which I feel like a lot of yoga classes that are out there are not teaching you how to do it like that. They just put fancy sequencing on it and getting you in fancy yoga clothes and talking nice to you and all that stuff. But if you do the work, you do the hard work, you do it intelligently, results are astounding.
Talk a little bit about how they can learn more about what you're doing. Tell them your website. Give them some ideas how to contact
you. Yeah. One Breath Yoga. You go to onebreathyoga.com. All the links to my YouTube videos. I have some of my talking interviews and clips from my yoga DVDs are on my YouTube page, which is One Breath Movies, and there's a link for my website.
Okay.
Facebook's on there. My Facebook group, One Breath Yoga Club, is on there. And I think there's a cycling video on there and just a bunch of discussion. Feel free to post any questions. And if you want to contact me, if a police department wants to contact me to come out and do a workshop and tell them what this yoga is all about and give them a firsthand experience of what this can do for their police department, feel free, because I'm going to put together a tour for 2011 coming up, and I'm ready to roll with this whole thing. It's a long time in development, and finally I think I found my people.
Cool.
And it's, I'm ready to go for it. So.
Well, I appreciate your commitment. Give us a, you want us to use email or a phone number? What do you want to give?
Yeah, I can give you emails. PVY33, P is in Peter, V Victor, Y is in yellow, 33 number, and at hotmail.com. You can contact me through there, and that's on the website as well. And my phone number is 503-515-7211, and feel free to call anytime and just leave your info, and I'm glad to get back with you as soon as possible. But I am busy these days, so please give me a few days to get back to you.
Great.
So, yeah, I'm ready to roll. I'm excited for what the future holds, and I think there's hope. You know, I think there's hope for us as just a human race just to wake up a little bit more, you know, start living a little more consciously, you know, and don't drag all this suffering around with us, all this pain, all this suffering towards one another, this hate towards one another, and all this angst and everything else. I think, you know, just we as people, we need to grow up. We need to address this stuff. And I think a good way to do it is through the physical body.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. And certainly, and unfortunately, it's always going to be the case. Cops are going to be the ones out there in the world finding all of that. And, you know, by the nature of their of who they are, they're going to be taking some of that home with them. And I appreciate you making a commitment to help our profession try to manage some of that a little bit better and find ways to, you know, probably more appropriately channel it. And it certainly sounds from what you've described that it makes you stronger and, you know, and certainly makes you better able to cope with what you have to go see the next day. And that's really what this is about. If you're going to stay in the profession for 20, 30 years, you've got to have some mechanisms, some tools, some strategies to be able to manage all the stress out there. And this sounds like a great one. So I encourage you to get a hold of Nick. I encourage your agency to check out what he's doing. And Nick, why don't you keep us up to speed on what's happening with the tour? And we'll be happy to publicize that for you next year.
Yeah, thanks, John. I really appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for all those kind words. Let's stay in contact.
I promise.
All right.
Thank you, Nick, and thanks to everyone for listening. You have been listening to the Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Again, we're out here to try to make your lives better. I believe that if you're going to go through a full career in law enforcement, you deserve to live happily ever after once you're finished. And unfortunately, way too many cops die too quickly in retirement, and some of them don't even make it there. So if Nick's one-breath yoga strategy is good for you, check it out. Pass the word. If it doesn't work for you, find something. That's the point. Find something. But we're dedicated to giving you ideas and strategies to try to help you survive your career. So I'm going to end by saying stay safe out there and wait for us to come out with another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.